Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast. This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy. And you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. But before we get into this week's movie, we've got a little bit of haunted housekeeping. which is that we have another live virtual show on December 3rd at 6 p.m. Is that correct?
6 p.m. Yes. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. That's right.
We will be recapping. Well, first, importantly, all three of us will be together in the same physical location, which is a huge event for us personally. A rarity. Henley will be in L.A. We will all be together. It's very, very exciting. And we're going to be recapping a new release, The Menu, which goes wide in theaters this week, this Friday, November 8th. 18th, I think, is the date. Can't wait to hopefully we haven't seen it yet, so hopefully it's good. But it looks good. I'm excited to recap it. And we're gonna do all sorts of fun stuff that we could only do being together and having a visual element to the podcast. So if you want to hear the recap and also see the visual elements, which is why everybody subscribes to podcasts, you can watch our show. It is, you get tickets at moment.co/TSDW, moment.co/TSDW. And it's going to be a great time. And tickets will be available, or the stream, the video will be available for a week after that date if you buy tickets. So if you're not available on the 3rd at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, but it will be available at any point within that next calendar week, which imagine if you were not available at any moment for a whole week. I'm sorry for you for that. But if you are, you can still watch it.
I'm really excited. Mostly, I'm just excited to hang out with you guys in person.
So excited.
Also, it's an excuse to dress up.
We're going to dress fancy.
Don't have currently. I only wear leggings and
you did recently
t-shirts.
Describe a sweater vest as a bra.
I'm currently
so
wearing a sweater vest.
That's the kind
it is
of dressing up.
As a bra. Yes.
The kind
yes.
of dressing up we're typically doing.
I bought a sweater vest recently. It's blown up my closet. I mean, it's like changed every outfit. I mean, you guys...
Hearing you talk
person.
About it, I immediately was online shopping
two.
For sweater vests.
Yeah, I got
I
two
like,
now.
Well, I need one. Hearing it described as an alternative for a bra is really game changing. Love that. Okay, did anything scary happen to us this week, you guys?
I just have a quick little thing, which is, as people may know by now, I have four cats, and one of them recently, the oldest one, she's 12, and by all accounts, she is the best one. She's the least offensive most of the time, has decided her new thing is to scream in the middle of the night.
Oh,
just
yeah.
walk around the house, not and walk around like our bed, like just circle the bed yelling at us for seemingly no reason. Joel took her to the vet recently just for a checkup and was like, she's doing this. Is anything wrong? And they're like, no, it doesn't seem like it. And if she's still eating, she's still acting normal. Otherwise, she's just probably yelling at you. And we've looked up, do cats get more vocal as they get older? The answer is yes. And I really am not a fan of this new habit. If anybody has thoughts, if their cats have done this, it's just like, it sounds like she's just bored. Like, it's not a distress cry. It's just sort of like, rah, rah, rah. It's like, can you? But it's so loud and it's so annoying. And it's like
really
every
annoying.
Night now. Oh,
can
my
you,
God.
Can you kick her out of your room? Does she freak out if she's not allowed in your room?
I mean, we could kick her out of our room, but so then we'd have to kick every... We can't trap anybody in the room. Oh my
God, the idea of four cats in a bedroom while I'm trying to sleep is a nightmare. Goddamn nightmare.
We'd have to trap them all out, and then they'd probably fight with each other and be loud outside. It's just like, it's a whole thing, you know? It's too many cats.
It's dynamic. It's too many cats.
So if anybody has thoughts, love to hear them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of boredom, my thing this week is that I have a desperate plea to listeners to please send me your recommendations about children's books, like infant books that I can read and I won't want to, like, you know, jump in a lake afterwards. Like,
you're bored with Silas's books.
I'm reading. So he loves to read, which is great. It's a blessing. But oh my God, he wants to read the same books over and over again. So I have so many memorized, like Little Blue Truck, Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. Like they are just.
Will there be enough room? Is that the next line?
Oh my God, don't put me on the spot.
Sorry.
To have to actually.
I just remember that one. I remember that one.
Yeah, they are like. He's relentless about wanting to reread these. And so I just need some new ideas. Anyone? There's one that we particularly don't like called Pout Pout Fish. I'm a Pout Pout Fish with a Pout Pout face. I spread the dreary wearies all over the place.
Did I spread the dreary wearies?
Yeah, it's such a weird message.
Is it about like, don't be sad ever? Don't show that you're sad? Fucking like, buck up, bitch? Like, what is...
Basically, at the... This fish is very sad and he's going around and he's spreading his sadness. Everyone's trying to make him feel better. No one can make him feel better until this kind of like sultry fish swims
sultry
out and gives him a kiss.
Oh, no. Him. Oh, no.
Unprovoked kissing. Not, you know, non-consensual. Non-consensual kissing.
Also like, hello, men of the world. If you're grumpy long enough, you'll get a kiss.
What is this book?
You guys, it's insane. This is a New York Times bestseller, like top of the list. There are multiple spin-offs.
Feels like another like spin-offs. The sadness getting 91%. Like the public is wrong.
The rating systems are all whack right now. But anyway, so this you know, this other fish kisses the Pow Pow fish and then he completely transforms and he's no longer the Pow Pow fish.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And I can't believe people are reading this book. But Silas really likes listening to the Pow Pow Fish, the Pow Pow
Face. He can't read, right? So could you just lie to him about, could you change the words?
We just put it away, like, so he doesn't see it. That's doesn't exist. Like the key.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. But anyway, I need some suggestions.
Okay.
Any favorites? I'd love to know.
Yep. Tell us your children's book suggestions. I have a very quick one that is just that Emily and I exercised 8 days ago and I am still sore from it.
It was really hard.
Normal?
It was like the hardest class I've ever taken.
What did you guys do?
We did our aerial yoga.
Aerial yoga, which is very fun and
it's great.
Very expensive.
I know.
So I only do it.
I know.
On
I have
rare
like a pass that I like milk with for all it's worth. And I'll be like, well, I can't go for another 3 weeks because I'll run out of the pass.
Wait, what is aerial yoga? Are you guys like on a, I'm imagining like a sheet that you're like there, spinning
it's like
around.
It's like a hammock. So I will send you pictures, but it's really cool. But this particular class is like, it's a core and booty class. You use the hammock doing like squats and stuff. And
holy shit.
But it's not my core and booty that are hurting. It is my arms. She was, I think, making us do things that felt like Olympic level athlete exercises, like holding your whole body weight up by your arms and like lifting your legs up and down, like pull-ups kind of, but which I can't do. And I felt embarrassed. And so I really tried.
Oh, I do that too. Really I overcompensate in those situations.
It's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, that is how you hurt yourself. But
yeah,
yes, I was like, I can feel that my body can't, like, it's not, this isn't, I would need to really work up to this thing that she seems
yeah,
to
but
be
there,
doing.
There was no work up. It was just sort of like, go.
No. So anyways, yeah, everyone just be careful out there. Know your limits.
Careful
it's
out
okay
there.
To not try to do the Olympic level exercises.
Yeah.
and then you won't be sore for 8 days. I just like wake up each day, and it's when I lift my arms up to like get something out of cabinet. Ooh. I'm like, wow, still hurting.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
I've been there where I couldn't even like lift my arm up more than this. And I remember going to work one day and I couldn't, my boss was like, are you okay? I was like trying to like hand him something. It's like, I can't lift my arms
just like
up.
Dead arm.
Completely dead arms.
It's scary.
It's scary out there.
It is scary. But something else scary that happened to me this week was that I watched this week's movie, which is Winchester, came out in 2018, directed by the Spierig brothers, Michael and Peter Spierig, written by Tom Vaughn and the Spierig brothers, starring Helen Mirren, Jason Clarke, and Sarah Snook. Ooh. And it is streaming on Amazon and Hulu. And we have two guests with us today who I feel like are probably experts on the Winchester House. Ooh. So that's very exciting. We're thrilled to have them. They're the hosts of And That's Why We Drink. Em and Christine, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. But I also have to say, all those memes I've seen of like,
oh my God, Em, I'm in torture. Yes, it's torture. I know what you're going
to
say.
Watching or listening to a podcast and wanting to like scream your opinions at them, but knowing they wouldn't be able to hear.
Like, we just had to sit here in silence. At one point, I was waving my arms about the pout pout fish.
I saw. I was like, okay, we got pout pout fish.
I was like, I need to chill out. But like,
pout pout fish sounds like an incel.
I'm
like,
pretty sure.
I'm telling you.
I'm pretty sure you were talking about Miss Shimmer and like,
yes.
Leona also loves the pout pout fish, but the one about where it has to go find a pearl in the ocean. I don't know. It's like a spinoff, but just Miss Shimmer. I'm like, what is your deal? Like, she's lurking everywhere.
What is the message here? It's like,
he's giving you nothing. Why are you just kissing people? What's happening?
You know,
but also,
I don't know.
We are sex positive about Miss Shimmer, so she can do whatever
she
wants.
Miss Shimmer can do what she wants, mm-hmm. but yes. I don't, mm-hmm. what I don't mm-hmm. like is the message being conveyed to Pop-Up Fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's
feel like
he's
he was
trouble.
Rewarded. He was rewarded for
Absolutely.
Being problematic.
Absolutely.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
And he's being told like that it's okay to be mad until you get the kiss you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the kiss will come. You don't have to do anything to get it.
Exactly.
You deserve the kiss.
Yeah.
We could all together write like the spinoff and just like
pout,
actually
pout
educate children on
yes.
change the narrative. Change the narrative.
Change the narrative.
Yeah, it was a unique torture to just sit there and be like, oh my God, my cat screams all the time too. And I know I've Ugh. Researched this extensively, and it's because he's like hunting, and then he brings us little presents, and they're usually ones isn't that it's horrible. I'm like,
there's
I don't
a
want
specific
this
yell of I have. Well, there's this one toy they have, which is the fish, and they all do it if they have
oh, yeah.
the fish. There's a specific because it's also really big. So it also makes a specific sound like, when they're holding it, and it's like, and it's like, I've got the fish, and they just like drop it, and you're like, cool.
The worst is my cat likes to drown things, and so he'll drop them in the water bowl, and then he'll bring them into our bed and like put them on my pillow, and they're like soaking
wet.
That's worse.
This is just a reminder to me why I am childless and petless. I am
I don't know. Like, it's never a dull moment. You know, it's never a dull moment.
But also, nothing here is ever damp. So,
And if it is, like, you can investigate why, and it's about it. Yeah,
I have a lot less exploring to do to figure out my answers.
Oh, everything here is damp. That's a good point. Everything in my home is definitely damp. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All of my clothes are damp. This is why I can only wear sweater vests.
And I'm now Googling sweater vest shopping. I mean, I've already learned so much today.
My eyes have been opened. Thank you for having us.
Oh my God. Thank you for being here.
Christine, anything scary happened to either of you this
Always,
week?
Every week.
I mean, all the dampness.
that's every week. Yeah,
I have something scary that's happening tonight, especially for people with social anxiety. It's probably like a nightmare.
Can I just say real quick, I saw this on my calendar because we share like a podcast calendar, and all I saw was like M at like social dinner or something, and I was like, what is that? Is that what you're about
that
to talk about?
Sounds yeah. scary.
I have so many questions. Okay.
It's a dinner with strangers on purpose.
Oh no.
Oh my.
Right. Why?
Wait, what?
Tell me everything.
I don't know how much I'm supposed to say. I don't know. It's just called the influencer's dinner. And that's all I know.
Oh, my God.
And apparently 12 people have been invited who shouldn't know who they are. It's like a weird thing.
Are you going to get murdered?
I was going to say, this sounds like
the menu.
A horror movie.
There's one horror movie with Brittany Snow called Would You Rather? And this feels like the beginning of that.
Oh, no.
Where uh-huh.
Yeah. She literally goes to a house full of strangers and they all have to play like a psychological game together.
What the fuck?
And I was
okay,
like,
well, Christine, you have this info on your calendar, right? So if honestly, something happens to Em, you know where.
Well, I'm like not loving this because I'm like, I don't want to carry this whole podcast. I'm not this one. Ours. Em's and mine on my back. And like, if something happens to you, like I'm screwed too. So you be careful.
I have find my friends on my phone, but there's like, it's some, so there's, I don't, it's, it is very shady. I'm admitting to how shady it is because I don't know a lot, but all I know is okay. that it's like a dinner where there's going to be like a dozen people there and like we have to all make a dinner together, which is like so fucking weird to
oh,
me.
Oh no.
We have to make dinner and then we all sit down and eat, and just through our small talk where we avoid talking about our jobs, we have to like guess each other's jobs. I don't know who, it's apparently some psychologist.
Did this invitation like come in a sealed envelope on your doorstep, or how did this come to
question.
Be?
Apparently this is like a once a year thing where they have like this dinner and it's always 12 new people. I don't know how
cool.
Wow.
Have you ever heard from anyone who's done this before? I mean, are they still around to tell the tale.
It's the weirdest thing. I have no idea if this is a complete scam and I'm just walking into a random person's house. Either way, I'm walking into a random
Dear
person's
Lord.
House.
Right.
But I also am a bit of a social butterfly, so I'm excited to network.
Yeah, this is very much down Em's alley. Like, I am freaking out on your behalf, but I think you're going to nail it.
If I die, know that it was like definitely I asked for
an interesting way to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing what you love.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say it sounds like all those crime books I read, like those fictional crime books I read, like murder mysteries where everyone's in one building and there's a storm outside and then one person falls dead and you're like, who did it? You're all like making bread together or whatever.
And none of you know who anybody really is. So how could you find the suspects?
Point.
You know,
like
when
somebody
you leave.
Seems suspicious, but maybe it's just
they
a trick.
Do for a job. Where do they live?
Murderer.
I don't know.
Surprise. Yeah.
I have no idea how it's gonna go, but it is apparently it's supposed to be kind of mysterious because the less information I know, the better results we get. I don't know where these results are going. I don't have any idea.
Results. Oh, no.
Some mad scientist just like, yes, they'll sit in a room.
He's sitting in like the Saw. Like, I've never seen Saw. I mean, I want to admit this right now, but I feel like he's watching all this from like a screen.
Yeah, the monitors.
He might be, and I am. I'm truly. Literally walking into this, so if something happens, we all it's recorded.
I know
what I did. I know what I did.
Great.
Okay. Wow. Best of luck. But I'm honestly very interested.
Me too.
I'm very interested if you survived this to hear how it went.
Me too. Me too. That's how I ended up in it. I was like, well, this could be a story. So.
Honestly, I'm going to be offended as a true crime podcaster if you get murdered and everyone's like, didn't you warn Em? I'm going to be like, I tried for 5 years. I've been telling stories like this.
All the signs were there.
Every single red flag. Yeah,
what
I don't know
what about you, Chris? Oh, I've tried to. Is there something scary going on in your life besides how damp your house is?
That's pretty damn scary. You set the bar very high. There's a lot of scary things. And I've been thinking about this all day. And we did have a couple little ghosty things that happened recently. But the one thing that I feel like is most relevant is that something scary happened, which is that I started listening to your podcast, this lovely podcast, and I'm not a I don't watch scary movies. I'm like you. I'm scared of scary movies. Mm-hmm. And so is my husband. So like we just don't. Like, I just get to avoid them all I want. But I listened to like the Mary Holland episode about Carrie, and I love Stephen King, but I never read it. And now I'm in this like black hole of like, well, maybe I will start watching these movies. Ooh. And I feel like this is a dangerous place to be because I am a huge scaredy cat. And I feel like the way you present it was like, oh, I could be brave enough to watch this. It's intriguing. And now I think poor Em's going to...
It's a slippery slope.
And I feel like maybe I've done something bad. And so, I don't know. I'm going to watch Carrie tonight. I'm very excited.
I could handle it, I'm sure you can.
Okay, that's comforting. See, this is the slippery slope, though. I'm like,
I know.
Well,
yeah,
they
this
made
is
it
how
doable. And like, I'm just going to have nightmares. And I'm
Christine had to take a Klonopin the last time we watched a horror movie together. So I don't know how this is going to go.
I took like 60 milligrams of... No, not Klonopin. Sorry, I took 60 milligrams of melatonin
and
Klonopin. No, I did, but I wanted to be clear, it was not 60 milligrams of Klonopin.
What was the movie?
I was having like a full-on anxiety attack. Oh, what was it?
Which movie?
Sinister.
Sinister.
Which I don't know. Oh,
that's a pretty gory one.
That's a
gory
one. That's a scary one.
Also, just getting through it with melatonin is a really fun choice. I think
well,
just being
I
like,
didn't get through it. I got through two minutes.
She did it on purpose to poison herself so that way she could exit the narrative.
I wanted to make myself unconscious and fall asleep. And I did that. And I did fall asleep. And my poor brother was home and got sucked into watching it and still regrets it to this day that
it's tough.
You were at my house making us watch it. But I don't I've watched like Midsommar weirdly. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is thrilling and interesting and exciting and terrifying.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, the Saw and all this business. I'm like, it's too. I don't like it. I don't like
the goriness,
the torture stuff, the pain stuff. Yeah. I don't like it.
They're definitely different genres of horror, and right? Figuring out
you got to find what works for you.
Figuring out what you're into is really important. So yeah. I personally into none of them. None of them do it for me. But if I was to choose, probably like a psychological
stuff. Like I love the like Get Out and all that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean. It's still hard for me because I'm still a big baby, but I like them more than I like the Sinister and the yeah. Ghoul.
Well, yeah. So do you like scary movies? It seems like maybe it's more up your alley if you're already going into Sinister.
It's definitely more up my alley considering I don't have to drug myself at sleepovers, but I used to, if you told 14-year-old me where I stand with horror movies today, I'd be really ashamed because 14-year-old
me
was
that teenager who was like going to the Saw films.
Yeah. Oh, I saw every single one in theaters. I was obsessed with like Blair Witch Project and and Paranormal Activity and The Strangers and Purge and like Chucky. I mean, I watched like all the like classics when I was a kid and I would like fall asleep to The Exorcist. Like I was so.
Whoa.
Nice.
I was like, I just really was like horror movies was like my personality. And then the second I became like I shifted from childhood to adult and like all of a sudden I had more awareness of my reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I can't watch any of it.
Interesting.
And childhood me would be floored because I thought I was just going to grow up and just like be a horror movie. I was just a
horror movie.
Well, you might.
The night is young.
Tomorrow or tonight, we'll see.
But yes, I can't watch them anymore. The Strangers is really what changed me because it was too real.
That's a tough one.
It could happen. It's terrible.
Because you were home.
Like
fucking terrifying.
And you know what? That sounds like true crime me too, where it's like, wrong place, wrong time, and like no control over. I mean, I do get what you're saying, Emma. Like the second you kind of get a grip on like, oh shit, like really scary stuff like this does happen. Maybe it's like a little too close to home. I don't know. Maybe that's
It just changed me. I was like, oh, okay. So now
it's not escapist.
Uh-huh. Great point. Yeah.
If anything, I'm diving in.
Yeah. Well, and so that seems like, tell us about your podcast, because there is I think true crime is so scary. And also there's paranormal element. Mm. Like, so you're delving into scary things all the time.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I know I just talked about the Mary Holland episode, but I was like so relating with her where I was like, I was reading Stephen King when I was a kid, but for some reason, like all the scary movies, I was terrified of like any, I still can't go to like a haunted house or like a jump scare. I can't do it.
Oh yeah.
But true crime is like the thing where it doesn't faze me. Like, I mean, I've seen the meme too, where it's people are like, oh, I can't watch a scary movie. It's too scary. And then like falls asleep listening to like, he hacked her head off with a machete, you know? And it's like so weird how my brain is able to like find that kind of genre comforting or like interesting, but not as scary. But then, so I tell M stories every week, basically true crime stories that M doesn't know. And then vice versa. M is the paranormal half of the show.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't like true crime, and that's why I don't know a lot of cases that she tells, because that's too real to me. Like it could happen to anybody, where I feel comfortable in the paranormal because I'm like, I can, even though I'm a big believer in ghosts, there is a chance it's all bullshit.
It's easier to talk yourself out of it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I'm very into ghost stories and spiritualism and all these things, that there is a cop out. Like I could sneak away from it and close my eyes and cover my ears and just pretend it's not real. But true crime, you can't get away from.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, it definitely did happen. yeah. to someone. Yeah, unfortunately. And that's real. Yeah.
What do you think is comforting about true crime? Is it because I have friends that are obsessed with it? I have one friend who was so obsessed with it, she made herself stop like looking at this website every day. She was like, I can't remember which website it was, but she was like, it's taking over my life. Yeah. Like, I literally need to stop doing
this. It happens. Well, you know, it's interesting. We were mentioned in the New York Times once, and this was just like a very weird blur. And like, we had no idea this was coming. We freaked out. We still have it framed somewhere. But anyway, that article was literally about why people, women in particular, are drawn to true crime. And I feel like they credited our show with some sort of information. And at the time I was like, I have no idea. I just think it's interesting. But now after reading this article that I was apparently part of, and
oh yes, that is how I feel.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I'm so smart. Journalist. I had no idea. I had no idea I felt that way, but it makes so much sense retroactively. But yeah, I think a big part of it, especially, I mean, I'm obviously generalizing here, but like for women or people who identify as women or even queer people, it's sort of like there's this element of being victimized over time, like just so much more likely to be the victim of, you know, anything from domestic abuse to just like random crime. And I feel like there's an element of like taking control when you watch or learn these stories. And so you're kind of learning what happens. You're kind of getting a grasp on like, oh, there are people you can't trust. There are people. And yeah, some people like me take it really far and are like, ooh, there's a murder. Like, I'll sometimes just like memorize a license plate just in case. I'm like, that guy looks sketchy. Like, I mean, you know, you can take it very far. And I do.
That's probably smart. It's going to like save your life.
Someday
it's going
to save
your life one day.
It might.
I also think when it's like part of our career to be always thinking about true crime, we
can't
so ready to tap into, oh, that could be dangerous. Oh, that could be dangerous.
Yeah. I feel honestly the same way about like situations where I go, this is the start of a horror movie. Like, I'm like, I just see it now without even looking for
it. Yeah,
it
like plays itself
it all
out in your mind. Yeah. And meanwhile, M decides to walk into a room of strangers without any sort of understanding of what's happening. But you know what? It's fine. I'll get
over
it.
Look at some license plates on your way in.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
I at least understand it's a bad call. Like, I know what I'm doing.
As long as you admit it, I feel fine.
Yeah. I know it's stupid. And if something bad happens, I will be thinking all the signs were there. Yeah.
God damn
but
it.
How perfect would it be if I swooped in? Like, if I lived in LA still, I think I would be like, you'd be like, what was that flash in the window? It's like me just, you know, trying to make sure you're okay in there. Just like ready, memorizing everyone's license plates and just like ready to swoop in at any moment.
I will be taking pictures of every angle of this house in Cross Street, and I'll be like, just in case.
Send some pics as you walk in, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or just live stream it from your pocket, and then we'll go viral.
That would actually do wonders for our TikTok content, probably.
Yeah, you'll be dead, but like, we'll have so many followers.
It's a great TikTok.
So
what a legacy to leave, you know?
What a legacy. And when I'm doing, once again, what they loved.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
All right, you guys. I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life, obviously. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them. And they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
Getting attention, getting followers.
Yep. Gotta love it.
Okay, so tell us your guys' relationship with like the Winchester house in general and with this movie. Have you seen this movie before?
Yeah, for listeners who don't know about what the Winchester house is, it's very fascinating.
That's me, by the way. Oh, I know absolutely nothing about the Winchester house. Have never heard of it before doing this podcast today. So
you've never heard of it?
No, you guys. Oh, what the hell? I don't know.
All right, Em, this is like your spotlight is on, your microphone is ready. You take the stage.
Okay. So the Winchester House, our main connection to it is we actually just hit 300 episodes for our podcast.
Woo-hoo.
And
congratulations.
Our very first one was I covered the Winchester House.
Like the
it was the first episode
ever. Yeah.
And I go first. So technically, it's the first topic we ever covered, too. Yeah. And so it's always been near and dear to our hearts. And then every like 100 episodes or an anniversary, we try to bring the Winchester Mystery House back for, like, I guess to redeem ourselves from how much our research has changed since then. So episode 200, we redid, we had like a redemption episode where I redid it versus my one episode in don't know how to research story. Mm-hmm, and then our 300th episode that just came out, we actually went to the Winchester house together and recorded an episode there
in the carriage house. It was so cool. And it felt so cool too, because it was full circle. It was sort of like, oh, when we started this podcast, like it just felt like, oh, like, I mean, I know I've heard you say it, like, oh, our parents may be listening, maybe not, but that's
like,
it.
What are we doing?
Like, yeah, we're just doing this for fun. And then 300 episodes later, we're like in the Winchester Mystery House talking about it. It was very full circle.
And we got like a private tour after hours. So the whole house was ours. And it was so, so cool. And actually, the person who gave us the tour is the person who runs their TikTok account, which is actually so funny for a house. And it's like such a good TikTok account.
The house has a TikTok account.
I can't
and
even figure out TikTok. A house has it?
It's really well done, too. It's actually very funny.
But Em, you got to tell Henley like why this house is so interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So the movie really took some parts to
heart. It took a lot of liberties.
A lot of liberties. So so everything you already know, just re-erase that from your mind. So,
but no, Henley hasn't watched it, right?
No, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, no, Henley has not seen this. So we have to just start from scratch.
You get to set the narrative first. Yeah,
I literally know nothing. I know. Okay. I'm a blank slate.
Hi, a blank slate. I've always wanted to meet you.
Yeah, I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Okay, so the Winchester Mystery House, in the 1800s, there was a woman named Sarah Winchester. Her husband was...
the heir to Winchester Rifles.
Yeah, Winchester Rifles. And he ended up dying, and she ended up taking his like percentage of the company, which at the time, like, it was the money that she ended up getting from inheriting his stocks in the Winchester Rifle Company. She never had to ever think about money again in her life. I mean, she was just like Elon Musk money, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like crazy. Mm-hmm. So she ended up getting this house, but she felt so guilty about all of the deaths that had been related to that had come from Winchester rifles. So mm-hmm. anyone in war who had been shot by a Winchester rifle, mm-hmm. Anyone in general who's just bought a Winchester rifle and there's been an accident.
There were a lot of Native American like groups mm-hmm. that were just completely demolished by the Winchester Ugh. Rifle. And so,
oh, wow. Yeah.
And can I insert just one bit, which yeah. is that when she was on, she lived on the East Coast and she had lost her infant daughter and mm-hmm. her husband in a very short time. And just obviously this was like very horrifically difficult. And she was really struggling. She had all this money, but she was really struggling. And she went to see a psychic in Boston who apparently told her, we don't really know, but something about like, you know, oh, the spirits from the Winchester rifles. And so I guess that's how she kind of got it in her mind.
But like, they're cursing you.
There's a curse.
There's yeah. a curse on the Winchester family for everything that is that has come that's from psychic. These rifles.
Ooh, real bummer to go to a psychic and be told that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's not like comforting at all. Thanks. Yeah.
Causing a lot of damage, this
yeah.
psychic.
Yeah.
And so she ends up listening to the psychic who tells her to move across the country. She moves to San Jose, which is where the house is. And she starts, or she already, the house itself starting out was like an 8-bedroom house, which you would think is already enough for one woman living yeah. there.
It's pretty big.
But she
too many rooms. Yeah.
Too many.
But she ended up feeling like she owed it to these spirits, or either owed it to the spirits or she was scared of the spirits. The story's a little wishy-washy on what her thoughts of like the ghosts
motives.
Were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some think that she was scared of the ghosts and trying to hide from them, but she had a construction crew 24/7 constantly building, rebuilding, demolishing, rebuilding, repainting her
adding
entire
windows.
House.
Like there was one, Whoa. For example, like a beautiful stained glass window that the tour guide showed us. And like right behind it was just this big wall because she just yeah. put it up. It was like up there for like a month and then a wall was built behind it. Like just constantly Whoa. Rearranging, rebuilding, restructuring.
There were, and it, just because she lived in that house for years and years and years, and she constantly was building until she died. And so mm-hmm. she was just coming up with, like, over time you have to get creative, and so she's coming up with doors that just lead to like nothing and stairs that lead to nothing. And there's one part in the floor that's also a glass stained window, so you just have to like look over the banister and it's just all a glass window into the bottom floor. Or she would she like had her the first carriage house that had like
oh yeah
basically like car wash equipment, and so
like power wash hoses to like yeah. wash the carriages and stuff.
Yeah, so she would just come up with anything, and it ended up being this massive home. The stats are very easy to find, but it's like some things there's like there's 60 rooms, but then there's like 3 fireplaces, and then there's like 13 bathrooms, 13 this. She was really into 13, which they did capture in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she, one of the reasons she kept building this house is they think she was trying to make it confusing so the spirits couldn't find her in the house.
Yeah. And like a labyrinth almost. And one thing that I feel like is important to note too, which we, I don't think necessarily knew until we did the tour in person and got like the behind the scenes, is that she was actually like very well loved and like a very like gracious, powerful and also like beloved person. And so all the people she had working under her, it wasn't like she was, you know, like a terrible boss
Bob
or anything.
Wall, turn down yeah, the window.
Exactly. Exactly. Like she was very good to her employees. She actually, anybody who worked for her, their entire family was given a place to live on the estate, like on the property. And so there was an example of like the head gardener or something lived there with his wife and his daughter and named his daughter. Her middle name is Winchester after Sarah. Mm. Like people oh, really no. loved her. And she was like very, also very progressive. And her niece, who in the movie is what's her name, Marion, was apparently also like extremely progressive for the time, like was one of the first suffragettes, you know, and all this.
Whoa.
So I feel like there was a lot of cool history too that's not necessarily ghosty, but yeah,
it sounds like maybe she was building, I don't know, as having no information besides what you've just given me. I wonder if she also was kind of just like needed to build this family around her, and that's
oh,
why
yeah.
she,
I love
she
that. Yeah, like have yeah. that company all the yeah. time, and have
and, like,
in
keep
her home.
People there, mm-hmm. keep people around, give
that
them a
makes
reason to be
total
there.
Total sense.
Ooh, I just got chills. Like that
I
makes
know.
A lot of sense, and that's how people felt. Like they felt like they were part of this big family. And I know Marion did actually live Ooh. With her. Like we saw her room, and it was very cool. It had like butterflies everywhere. It was Aww. Just very, you know, it's just cool to see the movie, you know, was a little buck wild, but there are definitely a lot of like similarities.
Where is the house? Where is it located?
It's in San Jose, California.
Okay, San Jose, California.
Yeah, and they. Oh my God. But yeah, she really liked the number 13. She actually has her own like room where she would like talk to the spirits, and they would give her new design ideas.
At midnight, right? Isn't that part real? Yeah,
that whole part in the movie was interesting. Also, in the movie, I noticed that the room where she was channeling these spirits was in the part of the building that you and I got to see that most people don't, which was like the witch hat, where like it cones and tunnels.
Yeah.
So it happened to be, I just saw in the movie that it was a room where like it all was like all the ceiling.
Coned.
Yeah. The whole room is coned, where eventually there's like a tippy top point.
Like a witch's hat. It's called like a witch's witch hat.
But when you stand in like the perfect center of the room, your voice echoes through the room.
Cool.
It was very cool.
You can like hear yourself. It's very weird. Like you can hear yourself talk, but like in, and I think it's kind of neat too that they don't totally know why some of that stuff was built. And it like, of course, we all want to know why, but it's kind of cool. The mystery is still there of like, we don't totally know what she was doing in this room. Like maybe doing seances, maybe just writing journal entry, like who knows, but it just has some really cool like architectural stuff. So sorry, I feel like we're just blabbing about the house now.
I've been there.
I think it's so cool. I'm obsessed with it as well.
So yeah.
I think it's so cool
to hear all of this.
Yay.
Okay. Should we watch the trailer for this movie?
Yes.
And then talk about it.
Yes. Let's do it.
It's a gargantuan seven-storied structure with no apparent rhyme or reason.
Built on the orders of a grieving widow. Sarah Winchester's mind is as chaotic as the house itself. We're worried about her sanity, Dr. Price.
Mrs. Winchester, it's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Do you believe in ghosts, Dr. Price?
I do not believe in anything I cannot see or study.
I feel their presence. In the air, in the walls, it has found us.
Mrs. Winchester, why all the construction?
The spirits, killed by the rifle. We lock them away. 13 nails seals them in. I will do whatever it takes to protect my family. This spirit has a power we've not seen before.
Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. Starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee. Sounds of the rude world heard in the day.
I'm not afraid.
Held by the moonlight of our past away.
You leave my family alone. Anger will never defeat us.
You know, you throw a singing child into anything, it's anything. Game over for me.
Oh, very scary.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren. What a vision.
I know. With the black veil. Oh, but that part was true, too, is that she actually was in mourning for like years over her and wore black, wore only funeral clothes.
Do you remember the fact they told us on this horror about it? Purple.
Oh, yes. I think you could graduate to purple after a certain number of years, like after wearing black.
Yeah, there were like such strict mourning rules, I feel like, at a time.
Whoa.
And I think it was like 10 years or something. And then you could start adding purple to your wardrobe. And it was like, ooh.
Yeah. And so a lot of the house was like decorated in a way that would complement her wearing black or purple or something like that.
I love this woman.
I know. Yeah. She's a battle axe indeed. Yeah.
Also, is that the actual, did they shoot in the... mansion? No, they built a replica.
They shot.
I think they did some of it, right?
They did very little. They did, I think, a few like main shots, but everything had to be sound stages because the house itself is really cramped. It's really hard to film in there.
Oh, sure.
And she was very short. I think she was like 5'2" or something, like very small.
Yeah. Aww.
And it was all built like to her, you know, dimensions. Yeah.
I kept having. I'm 6 feet, so I had to keep ducking every time we walked under doors.
I'm 5'2", and I'm like, I want to go.
Oh, perfect.
You can move right in. Person's house. She's like walking around. Right, a hobbit hole for me.
She even has a shower. Like, she was one of the first people, I guess, in the state or something to have a shower. And it like it was perfectly built to like, you know, hit her her size. So you'd be like in heaven.
She also had just like how they showed the intercom system in the movie, and then they showed that weird winding staircase that was like like steps that were 3 inches tall, and you very slowly had to go up these stairs. That was true too. She had really terrible arthritis, and the only way she couldn't lift her legs a certain amount, so steps for her had to basically be a ramp.
Risers, sort of, so that she didn't have to walk up real stairs. And they did say actually in that part with the little risers that they did try to film in there, but it was the audio and lighting was just so difficult.
I'm sure.
That like they ended up making a full replica of that little stair thing, but...
Wow.
Anytime I go downstairs like that, I find it really disorienting.
Yeah, it is.
Like my brain shuts off.
It's also weird because like for what could have maybe just been like 3 or 4 stairs, I felt like it took us 5 minutes to walk up that thing because it just kept winding and winding and winding. It actually worked really well for me. I physically can't do stairs. And so I was like, hey, I might throw some winch.
Works for everybody.
You and Emily are going to move in and just be like in heaven.
Well, I won't be able to shower, but I will be able to get upstairs.
You'll have to kneel in the shower. I do love a sitting shower.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that this movie is not super well reviewed or well received,
like at all. I think it's 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Even with Helen Mirren and her beautiful veil.
I love Sarah Snook.
Actually, Helen Mirren got nominated for Worst Actress.
Excuse me.
And the movie got nominated for Worst Director, Worst Picture, Worst Screenplay.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it wasn't for like the Oscars, but it was some film.
The Razzies.
The Razzies.
Yeah.
That's sad. Wow.
Yikes.
What makes Helen Mirren say yes to a script that is going to be... It's like, I'm so fascinated by these things. But honestly, it looks worth watching to me just so you can see replicas of this house.
This cool house, yeah.
It was like fun. I mean, I don't really watch scary movies. So I waited till like the last minute, like 2 days ago. I was like, I gotta watch this freaking movie and I'm scared. And of course, Blaze, my husband's not going to watch it with me. So I finally buckled up and put it on and it was like... nighttime, of course. And so anytime there was like that moment where you know there's like a jump scare, I like changed tabs to like, I don't know, something completely different.
Yeah. I just do this until the screen is like
online shopping for sweater vests anytime the singing starts.
Yes, that's me.
Perfect. Online shopping while you watch something scary is a great tactic.
I'm so glad I discovered that. I mean, I did spend entirely too much money that night. But it was fun to watch, I think. Like, I didn't hate watching it. I felt like it was a little boring, but maybe that's just me. I don't know.
It's kind of predictable. Like, you know what's going to happen a little bit.
Yeah.
And it also was like, wait, what? I don't know. I was just
also like plot holes galore.
Yeah. That's kind of what I felt like. Wait a second. What's going on?
It just felt a little hokey, especially like just as like someone who like, knows probably more about the Winchester House than most people.
The average person.
Yeah. Whoever wrote the script. Like the whole storyline, they really just took like the haunted elements of it, and that was it. Like the main character of the doctor going to like check on her mental wellness because she's seeing ghosts, like that guy didn't exist. So whole storyline from the beginning was like the main character never was there. So
and like the little
love
boy
in a main male protagonist to
who's trying to convince everyone that the lady is crazy. Yeah, we love that plot twist. Yeah. But like the little boy, like that wasn't a thing, you know. I felt like, and maybe it's because, again, maybe it's like we're just jaded because we just went there and I feel like we got such a cool background tour or whatever. I don't know. But I felt like, wow, there's so many real things that did happen that could be like such cool storylines and then just like we're not. It's like just jump scares and stuff. And I was like, I feel like you really could have leaned into some of the darker, deeper stuff that like actually did happen with her. But, you know, I mean, it was like it was fun to watch while I was, you know, online shopping. So
it's great. Okay. Well, yeah, let's get into it. Let's kind of go through it and tell these two.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary and use code 2scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code 2scary so they know I sent you.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Who haven't seen it?
Yeah.
About it. Take it away.
Well, so there's this doctor named Eric Price. And his whole thing, he seems to be very into like reality versus illusion and like controlling fear. That's like
he's definitely troubled.
If I went through the script and I just like control F'd and typed in reality, illusion and fear, or like your mind, like he was all about
in my head. I can control my fear. It's very weird.
Yeah. Every time he like met a new person, he'd be like, do you think the body controls the mind or do you think the mind controls the body? And then
nice to meet you. Yeah. Like, and use that for your dinner. Yeah. That's your icebreaker.
Wait, that's actually so funny.
The next time someone like Henley says, I'm a blank slate, be like, okay, I got just the line for you.
Well, so he's a psychiatrist who has been hired by the board of the Winchester company to go check on Sarah because she has control of like 51% of the company and the rest of the board has heard about her erratic behavior. And so they want to go do a wellness check on him to see if they could almost kick her out of her place because maybe she's not fit.
And it's implied that like this dude at the company is like, okay, I need you to go in and say, she's crazy so that we can like get her out of here. Yeah. And it's like very,
he was like, money is no object. We'll pay you whatever we need for you to tell everyone she's crazy.
To go like, to go sign off on the papers. We just need a psychiatrist to go in and be like, yep, she's crazy. You can have the company back, whatever. Mm-hmm. She doesn't control the funds anymore. And so I was like, okay, I guess that's an interesting way to like get us into the house and stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he's also addicted to laudanum. And so he has, it was laudanum, right?
Something like that, okay.
Which is like opium-ish.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, what is laudanum? It like you sleep.
I looked it up. It's like 10% opium.
Yeah, it's like a hallucinogen. They would take it as like medicines, but he was clearly like addicted to it. And this was a big part of it because a lot of times, if he's seeing things, he thinks like, oh, it's just the medicine, or it's just the medicine, quote unquote. It's the drugs. Like that's why I'm hallucinating. That's why I'm seeing things. But like you learn that like his wife had passed away, or. Yeah, she passed away. And so that's part of why he's so troubled and he's taking this medicine. And so that he brings all this baggage with him into the Winchester mystery house.
Yeah, he basically, which, by the way, like him thinking he's seeing things is another. I really tried to lean into the theme here with my notes of like reality versus illusions. And like, because he wouldn't shut up about it. So I was like, I guess I'm going to have to deal with this. And so when he's interrogating Sarah for the, I don't know, interviewing Sarah for the first time, she's like the first person to say, like, my mind's never failed me. And then she doesn't fall for his like illusions that he tries to use as examples of like, oh, you don't know what's before your eyes. And it's interesting because I feel like she's struggling with reality of like weird shit is going on in my house and no one's believing me. And then he's dealing with the illusion part of like he's trying to figure out through his grief if he's actually seeing things or not.
Like his wife keeps appearing and stuff. And like that's clearly like, you know, his.
Yeah.
His
and
drugs.
he said I wrote the quote down. He said, what we see as truth can be an illusion distorted by grief. And then everything just kind of. He kept talking about illusions coming through grief and you need to see the truth. You need to see the truth. And it was, I just felt like a man was talking to me. He was just like barking orders, see the truth. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so he kept saying like, he was just very pro like empirical evidence. And it was just like, that was the whole running theme. So eventually he is starting to see things that he can't explain away like that he's hallucinating because Sarah tells him he can't drink anymore if he's going to be in the house.
She basically says you can't take your laudanum, like no drugs. And she like locks him away with clear-headed drugs.
Yeah, clear-headed. She says clear-headed. And so now that he's becoming clear-headed, he can't explain away the things he's seeing. So he sneaks out and he sees her channeling these spirits to like get new design concepts for the house.
Like at midnight there's a bell that rings and he's like, what is this bell ringing? And that actually did happen. They did say that they would ring the bells at midnight and she would go and do and it was very secretive, nobody really knows, but there was this room pretty small with like 13 coat hooks, like 13 panels,
candles,
like 13 candles. Every candles. And she would go in there and like some people think maybe she was summoning spirits, some people think, like, nobody really knows, but in the movie they have her going into this witch his hat thing and doing like automatic writing, but she's like drawing architectural designs like that the ghosts are telling her. And so that was actually where the biggest jump scare happened for me, because I was just like, oh, what's she drawing? And then something freaking showed up in the doorway and I almost screamed so loud. I was like, I thought I was going to avoid all these with my vest chopping, but that startled the hell out of me.
So then this is also critical, because while she's channeling spirits, one of the rooms that she's like now sketching out, that's like being told to her by a spirit that's in the house, is a gun display room where she up until then had never allowed firearms in the house because she was so against the rifles. But now they're saying you have to create a display room of every gun that could have killed somebody. And we find out later that this is a trap from one of the ghosts who has been invited into her home, because once the guns are all delivered to be put into the display room, all of a sudden her nephew, the little kid, is possessed and tries to grab one of the guns now that they're available in the house, and he starts trying to shoot at her. And she ends up surviving.
Are there good ghosts and bad ghosts? Like, are there good ghosts that are like helping her?
I think they're all supposed to be up in the beginning. You think they're just all kind of neutral, but every now and then, like a good or a bad one can come in.
I think it's sort of like she feels like she's doing atonement, where they where she's inviting them into. They're in charge. She kind of invites them into her space and to apologize. It's kind of funny to be like,
guess what? You get to build a house now. Like,
how fun for you.
You're dead. But what about these architectural designs you get to participate in?
All the stairs you can build. It's going to be great.
You ever wanted a room?
So then we find out that this particular spirit, this is further into the movie, but there's been this like bag boy, I don't know what the right word is, but like there's been like someone, like an attendant in the house that's been helping Dr. Price throughout the house that he's been talking to every now and then.
Like a creepy looking butler.
Yeah.
Creepy looking butler. Eventually, as now that Dr. Price is starting to finally believe the things that he's seeing and he's starting to become more clear headed and actually see what, you know, ghosts around him. All of a sudden, he finds out in a jump scare moment that this attendant he's been talking to was actually a ghost all along and nobody else has been seeing him.
Ooh, real Sixth Sense moment.
Yeah, yes. Real Sixth Sense. It really was.
Ooh, I've got an idea for a ghost movie. he was dead the whole time. That hasn't been done before, has it?
This is also really reminding me of Haunting of Hill House. Just that. Did you guys watch that?
I loved that one. Yeah.
That whole plot line of her and her like crazy architectural designs for her like dream house.
I was just thinking, where have I seen that before?
That's a great point. I don't think I ever put that together, but I wonder if that was like inspired by.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, they both came out. I think, didn't it come out in 2018? I feel like they both came out around the same time. Yeah. Something was just in the air. Architectural designs were on the minds of creatives.
I guess so.
Digest had its moment, you know what I mean?
Well, so then Dr. Price goes back to Sarah Winchester and is like, oh, I think your attendant just disappeared on me, or what happened to your attendant? And he finds out in like through the archives that it was actually one of the guys who's been
this
killed.
Attendant?
Yeah, he's been killed by one of the rifles, and the display room that one of the ghosts channeled her to build was him channeling her to build the location where he died.
Yeah.
And now you find out he's an angry ghost who's going to kill all the Winchesters.
He's like seeking revenge. Yeah.
And by creating a
putting
room.
Weapons in there.
Mm-hmm. And by creating a room that looks exactly like where he died, now he's like almost on a full circle to a point where he's like, they say something like, oh, well, now he's brought himself back into this world enough where he's, you know, somewhat alive enough to hurt us, which I think is interesting because you find out later that the tragedy that Dr. Price dealt with his wife was that he ended up being shot by a Winchester rifle and surviving because he was trying to lunge for a gun that his wife was trying to put on herself.
You also kind of figure out that she was seeing things and having these hallucinations that I assume was just, you know, some sort of mental illness or what have you. But she kept saying, like, why don't you believe me? I'm seeing things. And you say it's just like hallucinations, whatever.
Man should not be working in this role.
Yeah.
There are so many reasons why this is not a good fit.
Exactly. Like, he is clearly very troubled and for good reason. And this is not the right place for him to be.
Not a good fit. Revisiting a lot of the trauma constantly.
Yeah, that he clearly has not gotten over yet. But yeah, so she has the gun and she's like trying to, you know, she puts it up to herself. He goes to lunge for it and it shoots him.
But then he ends up saving the bullet that almost killed him because it's his way of like holding on to the baggage. But he thinks of it as like, oh, I'm connected to the things that I've lost and the people I've lost.
And I should say, like, after he gets shot, she also shoots herself. And so it's sort of like she does end up dying in that moment as well. But he survives. So there's like probably that guilt, too. Yeah.
And so what's, I think, interesting is that they talked about Ben, this ghost that's like now attacking the Winchesters. They called him dead, but alive enough to bring himself back in. And Dr. Price is alive, but dead enough that he's able to communicate with these spirits.
I don't think I put that together.
That's cool.
And so this one bullet is the one thing that's keeping him connected to death and his past and his grief that he's not letting go of. And that whole the stupid monologue he keeps saying is like, oh, your grief is distorting your truth and you don't know what you're seeing, if it's reality or not.
Like, he's clearly projecting is what is
and
happening.
So,
and not me, you.
It's not about me. He's able to see Ben and keeps the way he tries to like fight off Ben to get out of the Winchester house and save the Winchester. So he keeps trying to shoot at this ghost, but he's like, well, the bolts are going right through him. And they
that
realize
part
that
really made me laugh. Like, yeah, he's a ghost.
Yeah.
He's like, why can't I shoot him?
Why can't I shoot him? I shoot right
the bolts are going right through him.
100%.
Like, yeah.
I was like, what am I looking at?
But then you end up finding out that the only way to kill him is with the bullet that almost killed Dr. Price, because it was already so connected to the other side.
It's a ghost bullet, and it was also all
symbolic of like him letting go of his grief and like not letting his truth be distorted anymore. And it was a whole,
you know, it was all about his arc of like figuring out.
Well, it's about his arc, of course.
Yeah,
her house,
and
her
also
house.
And her life and her.
So
tragedy.
Sorry. For us just absolutely taking over your entire podcast by not letting you speak for 15 minutes.
No, we need to tell them that what happened to Em. This is very important that they hear the full narrative. I mean, again, we're probably going like from step one to step 15 to step three. We're not good at telling things.
Okay, this movie's not super dense. We don't need to know too much.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the gist. And I feel like another thing is the room where he died, this room that she had to rebuild, which had all the guns, you know, I guess an important thing about that is that we find out it was a Winchester rifle, like a, I don't know, foundry. What do you, I don't know what you call it, like a place where they put them together and built them back in the day. And he had gone in there because his brother and his brothers were killed during the war. And he had this like revenge that he wanted to, you know, enact upon the Winchester family. And so he went into this Winchester showroom or factory. And I think, did he attack everybody? I'm not really sure what he did in there, but
yeah, he ended up shooting like 15 people in the office because he thought your guns killed my brother. So now your guns are going to kill you.
Yeah. So then in the afterlife, he wants this place rebuilt so he can like actually now get, continue his revenge. I don't know.
Sure.
Wow.
It's something.
Yeah. So it ends with him finally letting go of his past. And now I hope he doesn't have this like stupid crisis anymore of reality versus illusion. And then Sarah Winchester, who they were both holding on to different things. Like, she was holding on to her husband and her baby who died. And so at the end, she like has like a lock of her baby's hair left and like kisses it goodbye to like signify that she's letting go of her past. But she literally just like let the wind take it away. And I was like, yo, you're allowed to keep your baby's lock.
Yeah. I thought that was so weird. And especially because like part of the real story is that like until the day she died, she was like thoroughly grieving her husband and baby's death. Like, she really never recovered from that.
Well, it's not her story.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This isn't about her. Okay. Throw the hair into a branch of a tree or something.
It's got her name on the title and she should be lucky for that.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah, she got enough credit. Enough.
But yeah, when she threw the lock of hair away, I was like, okay, like, that's right. Like Em said, you don't
feels
have
like
to throw
you
that away.
Are allowed to grieve forever like, if Jesus. You want.
And then she's like, whoops, 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 and like runs after it.
A bird has it in its nest. She's like, get back.
Wait, who was Sarah Snook in the film?
The niece?
Oh, she was the niece. She played Marion, who was Sarah Winchester's niece.
I guess
her role is that she was the mom to the little boy who kept getting possessed by this, you know, evil spirit. And like, I guess because he was a little boy, it was like easier to like take him over.
Sure. Children are vessels.
They're vessels and they sing in a way creepier way than anybody else could. Ew, it was horrible.
I was very impressed by the little boy's performance. It was very creepy.
It was very creepy. And I feel like they did do a good job with that, because earlier when the guy who came and killed everybody, he was like singing that to himself when he went to go like kill all the people in the office. And so then later when you hear the little boy kind of humming it under his breath and nobody else has seen this flashback, you're like, I see what's happening. The creepy guy is in this little kid now.
So that scary. Did
creep me out a little bit, but yeah, I don't know. So that was Marion. She was the mom to the boy, and Marion was real. She did live with Sarah Winchester. I don't know if she had, I don't think she had a little boy who at one point tried to launch himself out a window, which was a plot point in this movie.
She actually, so her storyline in the movie was like almost reversed compared to real life, because everyone in this movie was dealing with grief in different ways, which I'm sure could be its own psychological approach on this movie. But she also had moved in with her Aunt Sarah because she had just lost her husband. And so her and her son had to move in. And then, you know, there were conversations between her and Dr. Price comparing the ways that they handle grief. And then she ends up like having a character arc at the end where like she's able to fight for her family when she originally didn't think she could. It's a whole thing. But in real life, she actually was single when she lived at the Winchester house and then left the Winchester house to get married to this guy. So,
yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, Marion, damn. Like, she was the favorite niece of Sarah Winchester. And they made that, like, Sarah Winchester made this very clear. Like, you are the special one. And so she got her special room. And then when she went off and got married, like, Sarah Winchester bought them, like, a whole house. And, like, just like, doted, like, loved this niece of hers. And I think it was a pretty cool relationship, it sounds like, they had. And, like I said, they were both very progressive. And so it was kind of cool to, like, see that. That story. But yeah, that wasn't really at all.
But again, that's not the story of the movie.
Into the movie at all. That has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take all that out for the movie. We don't want to send any mixed messages about women voting. Women.
That would just muddy the waters. We don't need that.
It's about a man and a man's journey and a spooky boy. That's what it's about.
I don't think it occurred to me till we were telling what happened and you guys were like, oh, so it's about the dude. I'm like, yeah, it is about the dude. I don't know why it's about the dude. It shouldn't really be about the dude, but here we are.
So. How am I to understand the narrative without a male perspective?
Also a male struggling, so all of a sudden, like, he's a sympathizer.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
He's having a hard time, so we all just, you know, we all reels the women root in for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was something. It was cool to see the house and stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And so you've had a behind the scenes tour, which sounds very cool, but regular people can visit this house.
They have
gotta do it. It's been on my list for a while.
They have multiple tours. So they I don't know if they still do this one, but for a while during Halloween, they would like have a really spooky tour where you could even do a seance in her seance room.
Oh, whoa. I'd be too scared.
That would be really scary.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I know about it. I want to do it.
I'm full of shit. I would absolutely do that with you, Em.
There was a seance one. I've gone on just the regular day tour one. I will also say during COVID, they were, they decided that they were going to do a virtual tour online, which I don't know if that still exists now that it's back to being open, but you could just like on Zillow, how you can just like keep double clicking
like
the room
into
far
rooms.
Away.
They had like a virtual walkthrough of the whole place. So you should look up and see if it's still there. Cause that one, like I'd never been until we went recently. And so that was the only way I got to see inside it.
I think it was like $5, but it was just a way for them to be able to keep up during COVID. And
just maintain the house. Mm-hmm.
At one point, my goal was like, I'm going to memorize this house and it won't be a mystery to me. And then I got like 80 rooms in and I was like, I'm overwhelmed. So I gave
80 rooms?
There's many rooms.
You guys,
there's so many rooms.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. If
let
you
me,
haven't looked it up, you should look
stats.
It up. Yeah. I feel like there's actual real stats, but like,
wait,
it
while
is
you guys,
wow,
while you guys find
house.
The stats, can we talk for a second? Have you guys seen that Zillow of the house? I can't remember where it is. It's somewhere in like Montana or something scary like that. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. And it's this massive newly built house. There's a Zillow listing for it. Tons and tons of rooms. And every room just has like built in shelving.
Oh, it's so creepy.
And it's just I have not seen this.
Oh, it's so unsettling.
It's like, what was on these shelves?
Yeah, it's like in a way where you're like, somebody was doing something very weird in this house.
It wasn't like Funko Pops. It was
no, I don't think so.
I hear built-in shelves, and I'm like, oh, that's like, I mean, look at the room I'm sitting in.
And it's like Tchotchkes galore.
No. It's built-in shelves is like a really almost misleading way to describe it, because the shelves are not for like books. So the shelves are for like individual items. Like they're like small boxes.
Yeah, it's
like
very
hundreds
creepy.
Of them and these like huge empty rooms,
and there's just
how
like,
would
no,
I find this creepy
Zillow,
Zillow
house? I'm sure
creepy
it would come
Zillow
up if you just
house.
Googled it
storage really. Yes okay
Oh my God.
Storage. This viral house has a disturbing amount of storage. Oh yeah. Look at it. It looks like medical files were or like vials or something. I'm going to send you this link on the chat.
Yeah, but please.
It is very unsettling to look at. And like
it's in Placerville, California.
It's in California?
And it's very secluded. It's 18 acres.
18 acres.
Ooh, it's also like the fact that it's all like white and beige.
The white and beige is really odd.
Isn't it creepy? And even in the kitchen, the dining area is like all these creepy little shelves. It's like the bedroom just has walls and cupboards.
I do not like the way this door is locked.
Yeah, the doors are like locked on weird sides. Like the whole thing is wrong with this house.
Well, the fact that they even put it on Zillow, though, I'm like, okay. You know what?
I bet I have relatives who are government preppers. That's what this feels maybe. Like. To have like the doors
that
locked
does
from the
seem
other
like
side.
What it is. And like storing everything you'll ever need.
Yeah, even in the kitchens to have like preservatives and all this. That's
probably what it is. And it's like remote. That's what it is. Why are they selling it?
It's remote. Yeah.
It wasn't. Their stockpile got too big, I guess.
Yeah, they need another house.
I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I would bet at least $100.
But here's my question is like, not to like alarm everyone living in California, but like California is going to fall off the country. Like if the earthquake hits and all that, like why would this be where you have a prepper house? Like, wouldn't you
you got to be
to
right
Montana,
in the middle.
Like you said.
Henley keeps saying we got to get land in Canada.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
really
you gotta go.
I feel like you wouldn't get land in California to be a prepper. Like that's like more Midwest, East Coast. Like,
yeah, I feel like as someone who lives in California, I'm prepared that when the earthquake comes, I will not make it, and I'm okay with that. I've found peace.
Look, we're
in
all
it.
Gonna go out somehow.
Yeah. I've found peace in that.
Can I tell you something right now? I'm in Kentucky here. Okay, I have y'all in New York. I have y'all in California. If this happens for real and the system, the grid goes down, come on over. Got lots of space.
Okay, great.
Okay, come on over. I welcome you. I welcome you.
That is nice. But I will tell you, like, even my government prepper family, they're like, where are you going to be when the world ends? And I'm like, I'm going to volunteer to like just ride it out. And if they get me, they get me. I have no fear.
I'm going to walk into the San Andreas Fault and just plummet
just
to the ground.
I have no fight in me. I'll absolutely bow out. I'll be like, I don't want to, even if I survive, do I really want to live in the world after this? No.
Exactly. That's what I think. I'm like, if this is happening,
I've seen the fucking zombie show and I'm like,
get
this sounds terrible.
Here.
I hope I'm not there.
The rest of my life is living in bunkers and having to shoot people just to survive. I don't want to do that. Just
unless I have this $1 million mansion with all these cabinets. I feel like I could vibe with that, you know?
Well,
like,
also, in my head, the ideal, right, is to be like somewhere where you can be, you know, safe, alone, like in a beautiful wilderness.
Yeah.
But realistically, I don't know how to fucking do anything. Like,
that's
not
gonna happen. Yeah.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. It won't be peaceful is the thing.
I've planted so many things and they always die. I'm like, I'm not going to survive. Like, I don't know.
If someone does stumble upon your peaceful home, you have You have no backup coming.
No backup coming.
Wait, I found the actual theory. Sorry.
Oh, great. Uh-oh.
Well, someone wrote like, any cults looking for a spot? This is it. Ha ha. And then somebody said maybe for sneakers. Ha ha ha. And then someone said maybe for sneakers or books. And then somebody said, I'm from NorCal and the town this house is near has a bunch of Mormons. So it's probably designed for like a massive family. But then somebody said this theory is incorrect. Allegedly, the owner of the home just had a shopping addiction and needed space for her keep. And among the items they took out of the house were 25,000 books, thousands of DVDs and VHS tapes. And she was 89 and passed away. And that's why they're selling the house. Apparently she had so much stuff she was collecting.
Very well organized for like somebody with those hoarding tendencies.
That would also make sense because I feel like those colors are very like
that's an old lady's house.
An older person's house for sure.
Totally. And also I will add like as much as this could be a prepper house, like there's not like a bomb shelter or anything. Like, don't you usually have
it's
a space
like,
for weapons and stuff? Yeah. Like safe?
I wouldn't know. I don't really talk to that side of the family. So.
I know. I mean, I don't know
it's
either.
It's probably
obviously.
A hard door to open there.
I mean, I think what's really just the eerie part that makes it feel like the back rooms is that it's the fluorescent office lights in a home.
The fluorescent lights are no good. No good.
That's my number one hatred in any horror movie is when they're fluorescent lights. I'm like, we got to change
flickering
the lighting.
A little bit. You're like, stop it.
Sammy just texted. I think she has an internet outage, so we may close it out without her.
Oh, sorry, Sammy.
Sorry, Sammy.
All right, here are the facts for the Winchester House, which today would have cost $71 million.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
It was built from 1886 to 1922, and it is still 24,000 square feet with 10,000 windows, 2,000 doors, and that does not mean 2,000 doors attached to 2,000 rooms.
It's just doors.
The doors are just like hanging through the ceiling and stuff.
2,000 doors? You tried to memorize this house, by the way? Amazing.
Yeah, whoa. Wow, that was a bold move.
It was COVID. I had nothing to do.
No, that's fair.
160 rooms, 52 skylights, 47 stairways and fireplaces, 17 chimneys. So 17 chimneys for 47 fireplaces.
Yeah. You're not putting fires in all those fireplaces.
That's decorative. 13 bathrooms and 6 kitchens.
Wow. I gotta say, if I had 180 rooms, is that what it was? 180?
160.
160. I would definitely, a greater percentage of those would be bathrooms and kitchens, for sure.
You know, it was interesting because she was, again, this was so long ago that, like, bathrooms like this were not normal. And so, like, indoor plumbing was, like, not a thing, you know. So it was very.
That's true. And really, it maybe be a nightmare.
For the time, it was
bathrooms.
A lot, you know, to have all those bathrooms. And she had a private bathroom.
She's still just one lady.
Right.
You
it's
know?
Still just her.
Two, if you're talking about Marion. So I guess.
But even the idea, like, I mean, I really appreciate it. It was, granted, just for her, but she was the only one living there for the most part. But a lot of her designs were very accessible for the things that she needed. And
yes,
like,
it's very cool
and very just user friendly in general. Where like all the counters in the kitchen, if the sink is in the middle, both sides of the counter would dip down. So as you were like cutting produce, the water would drip into the sink for you.
Cool.
Love
and like
that.
Just very like what a brain this woman had. Like, just
truly
a mind.
Give us
this.
Her movie.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's that part. Maybe that's why I felt so off put by it. But like another thing, too, is that we got to see, which was cool, is where her room is. She had these fire, like a room. I think they call it the Hall of Fire or something. And it's these fireplaces. And again, she had this terrible arthritis that she suffered like a lot of pain from it. And so she kept it really warm in this space. Like she had these fireplaces. And so at night she could like stay warm and cozy.
Yeah. And she built it so that every fireplace was like directing the heat forward to her. So
yeah, very like avant-garde.
Yeah.
This woman's a genius.
She was.
This
woman is like actually also a great person, which is so cool to hear. And like also a woman and also just like ahead of her time. It's just such a cool story. And
that's
I felt like
so
we
cool.
didn't know all that until we got to kind of do the background tour. And we were like, wow, this is quite a. So maybe that's also part of it is watching the movie. I'm like, man, there's so much cool stuff about this house that could have just been at least peppered in or or could have made such a cool plot point and just kind of didn't, you know, but.
Yeah.
What a shame.
What a shame. Well,
what a shame. The world, there's still an opening in the world for a cool movie about Sarah Winchester.
Oh, yeah. You guys have anything to do this weekend? We can start writing a script.
Yeah, let's put pen to paper.
Yeah.
Who's going to be our male lead, though?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to find we
so many ideas.
So a
many
male
thoughts.
Perspective to take us through.
Timotei.
Honestly, now that you say that, I'm like, I'd love to see him in this. I'd love to see him in anything.
Me too.
Okay. Well, this was fabulous. I'm so thrilled to have learned more about this house. It's going moving up to the top of my list.
Yay!
Of the place I need to go. But before we sign off, tell us one more time about your podcast, where we can find you. I believe you have a book.
Oh, man.
We do.
Oh, and the book has a chapter about the Winchester Mystery House. So, you know, pretty cool stuff.
So our podcast is And That's Why We Drink, and we have new episodes every Sunday. We also have another Spotify original podcast called Rituals, and we have a book, A Haunted Road Atlas, and we this week are finishing our tour, our live show. So it's been a wild
we have
wild
headaches,
time.
But we're having a good time, you know. We're tired, but we're loving it. And yeah, you can find us at ATWWD Podcast on all the socials, or listen on any podcast platform. We talk about ghosts and crime and try to keep it as lighthearted as possible.
Yeah, we got a website, and that's why we drink.com. And if you want, we also do listeners episodes on the first of every month, so you can submit your own true crime and paranormal stories and might be in the running.
Yeah. That's so cool. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. I learned so much. I went from 0 to 100% knowledge about Winchester.
You're going to have weird dreams tonight, I think.
Yeah,
probably. I'm immediately going to look up if there's still a virtual tribe.
Yes, you should.
I just need to, and if the, at the very least, I'm looking up a lot of photos.
Perfect. I want everyone to keep in mind, at the top of your mind, is reality of, what is it? Illusion?
Don't let fear control you. Reality and illusion are a distortion of grief or something.
Two sides of the same coin. Who knows? Anyway.
I mean, it just rolls off the tongue.
It does.
So I'll never forget. Well, we did. I will just note, we did lose Sammy to an internet outage a few minutes ago. So we're going to sign off without her.
Bye, Sammy.
Oh, well.
We miss you.
Bye, Sammy. And from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch, goodbye.
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 Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right, we love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.